Let's read together the good news of Jesus' death, Mark 15, verses 20 through 41. Mark 15, verses 20 through 41, page 1013 in your pew Bibles, page 1013. We have read about the shame that was hurled upon the Lord Jesus. That shame continues as Jesus accepts the sentence of death in order to give us the gift of life. Mark 15, verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. There ends the reading of God's word. Our text is verse 37, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we want to look very specifically, not so much at the crucifixion, but how Jesus died as he hung there on the cross in agony and shame, how he died. The Bible pays special attention to how he died. And the reason for this is because it shows that Jesus gave his life. No one took it from him. He offered his life unto God. He accepted the sentence of death freely, willingly, purposefully, lovingly. Now, does that matter? No one took his life from him, he gave it? Yes, it matters a lot. Why? Because if death was forced from him, then it was an external offering to God and not from the heart. And that would make his sacrifice for sin unworthy and unacceptable to God. And we're still in our sins. but it was from his heart. He offered himself to God with his whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, and all his strength. It was a wholehearted sacrifice, and that's what makes his death a worthy and acceptable sacrifice and a payment for sin, a saving death, a death that brings us life. And that's what we want to see this morning. His dying breath has brought me life. How Jesus obediently offered himself to the sentence of death for our sin. He obediently offered himself up to the sentence of death for our sin. We want to see three things here: his loud cry at his death, his final breath, and his gift of life. His loud cry, his final breath, and his gift of life. Look again at verse 37. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. He didn't go out with a whimper, but with a roar. This is the moment of history we've been waiting for since the Garden of Eden. The death of the Son of God, the sacrifice of the true Lamb of God that takes our sin away. Because it's not the blood of bulls and goats that can take away our sin, congregation, but the death of the Messiah is the only payment that will work. So everything hinges on this moment of the death of the Son of God. All our hope comes to nothing if he suffers, is crucified, but then he doesn't die. And indeed, there are those who teach that error. He suffered, maybe was crucified, but didn't die. Liberal theologians, for example, say he simply went unconscious and then he revived. Islam says he didn't die. It appeared to be Jesus there on the cross who died, but at the last minute, Jesus traded places with Simon of Cyrene, and it was Simon who was crucified and died, not Jesus. Well, these theories have no credibility, have no witnesses, and cannot begin to stand against the gospel witnesses. Jesus stayed on the cross, and he died. There were opponents around the cross who said, stand up like a man now, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, come down. Prove that you're a worthy man. And he could have come down. He could have refused death. As the hymn says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. And that's the gospel. Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. He stayed on the cross. He didn't give in to the pressure to show his strength and come down to ease his suffering. The wages of sin is death, and he paid that wage in full with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and nothing could stop him because of his love for God the Father and for all his sheep. And you can see that here in how he died. There was something truly unique about the way Jesus died that calls for our special attention. It's not speculation. The Bible itself says it in Mark 15, verse 39. Look at verse 39. We already read that, but pay attention to it again. We read in verse 37, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Then look at verse 39. And when the centurion, this Gentile pagan, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, saw how he died, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. The way he uttered a loud cry and breathed his last was not normal for a crucified person. There was something highly unusual about it, something that made that Gentile centurion, the man who supervised the crucifixion and saw every part of it from beginning to end, all the details, when he saw how he passed away, left this life, He stood up and he took notice and he made this astounding confession. He called him the Son of God, which he was allowed only to call Caesar, the Son of God. He took that title and he transferred it to this man, this dying man on the cross. Sinclair Ferguson describes it this way. As the Roman centurion stood by, he heard something which was probably unique in his experience. A crucified man crying out with a loud voice and dying. Crucified men simply did not cry out with loud voices, writes Ferguson. Crucified men simply did not cry out with loud voices. They had no strength left to do so. This man had witnessed many crucifixions. He'd seen it all, but he had not seen this. Never saw a man die like this on the cross. They died slowly, over a day or two or even three. They slipped into unconsciousness. They died without strength, without sound. This was opposite. Jesus died quickly, with a shout, with strength, with force, with purpose. Surely this man was the Son of God. Just imagine. Many of the Jews had seen a life full of miracles from Jesus, and they didn't confess him to be the Son of God. They couldn't see it. This man just witnesses his death and sees enough in that to say, surely this man was the Son of God. He uttered a loud cry, we read. It can be translated, he sent forth a loud noise. This was not one of the seven words from the cross, it is finished, or Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was a separate yell, a dying yell of strength, maybe announcing victory, maybe taunting death and Hades. Perhaps an agonizing shout that he had prevailed. We aren't told, but this final yell is right in the midst of him saying, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So it is almost certainly to be some kind of yell of triumph, a war cry. Maybe even a roar of holy anger against the destruction sin and death had brought into the world, like Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, where it says he snorted with anger at the grave of Lazarus, at the specter of death. Whatever it is, the Lord Jesus is going out of this world with a cry, not a whimper, with zeal, not in failure. He's not acquiescing or succumbing. He's taking hold of death with purpose. It's a voluntary surrender to the wages of sin. It's a cry that made the centurion see in him not the demonic, but the divine. Well, he would have seen the demonic lots there at the spot of crucifixion, but he saw the divine, not the demonic. Surely this was the Son of God. Well, brothers and sisters, if this loud cry was a testimony to the pagan, how much more should it be to you and me, his children, God's children? Let that comfort you today. That this was no ordinary cry, no ordinary death, and no ordinary man. This was the death of the Son of God. There's no other death that can save you from your sin. No other crucifixions in the history of the world can rescue you from the pain and agony of hell. It's only one death that takes care of your death and your destruction. It's only one death that is your salvation, and it's this death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Golgotha 2,000 years ago. Don't make yourself too busy to stand amazed, too busy to bathe your life in this death, in this fact. Let his loud cry of victory cover your whimper of weakness and give you confidence that your death issue has been solved through his loud cry of triumph, of prevailing. That he stood to the end in the will of God. There's no other death that can cover you, brothers and sisters. Death is coming your way at any moment. Death is coming your way, and you're not strong enough to survive it and come out the other side. It's the wages of sin, and it leads to eternal punishment. But if you give up on yourself and your own strength, which is going nowhere but leading you to hell, if you give up on yourself, and today look to his loud cry and final breath, your death is covered. Your death issue is solved. And his final cry will bring you to life when you trust in him. Let's see, secondly, his final breath. His loud cry, his final breath. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Matthew says he yielded up his spirit. John says he gave up his spirit. He breathed his last. The word in the Greek is to breathe out. One translation has that. He breathed out his last. The old King James, he gave up the ghost. A familiar expression comes from here. He breathed out his last breath unto death. It was a deliberate act. It was something he did. He uttered a loud cry and breathed out his final breath. One translation has, a paraphrase says, Jesus shouted and died. Jesus shouted and died. And that's the idea. With that shout, he let go of his life. He gave his life over to death. One study Bible explains, voluntarily, sovereignly, he dismissed and released his spirit from his body in submission to his Father's plan. That's exactly what this is. St. Augustine wrote many years ago, he gave up his life because he willed it, when he willed it, and as he willed it. He gave up his life. He was conscious to his very last breath. His life was not taken, brothers and sisters, it was given. It was offered up to the Father as a sacrifice for sin. It was an act of loving obedience to the Father's will. Nothing Jesus did was extorted from him or extracted from him. He gave himself up for us all. I love how Isaiah 53 verse 10 prophesies Jesus' death, that moment of death. He makes his soul an offering for guilt. He makes his soul an offering, his breath, his life. It's his own work. It's his free gift. He voluntarily gave himself over to death. He offered his life as a gift to God to pay for our sins. And for this reason, he died much earlier than crucified victims normally died. He died earlier than the two who were crucified with him. Remember, Joseph asked Pilate for the body of Jesus so he could bury him. And we read in verse 44 of this chapter of Mark 15, Pilate is surprised that Jesus is already dead, so he sends out soldiers to check. And those soldiers, we know from John, they broke the legs of the two victims because they were still alive. That way they would hang lower and suffocate. But they didn't break his legs because they saw he was already dead. It was his work. It was something he took hold of. He gave up his life willingly, powerfully, purposefully, lovingly, And this is a really important teaching of Scripture regarding the Christ. I'll read four different passages, congregation, on this matter. Four different passages. They're probably all familiar to you, but let me read them. Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life. John 10:11. The second verse, John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lays it down. And then to explain further, the third passage, John 10:17-18. Jesus said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. Then Jesus added this, no one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I lay it down of my own. I breathe it out myself. And then Galatians 2:20. Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. In his love, he gave himself up for me. We all deserve to die for our sin. What we have done and said makes us worthy of eternal death. Think of it, defying our parents. That's worthy of eternal damnation. Speaking evil of one another. That's worthy of eternal damnation. Wishing someone was dead so he or she'd be out of your way. That's worthy of eternal damnation. Doubting God's goodness, denying God's existence, denying his word, the Bible, filthy talk, that's worthy of eternal damnation. Paul says, for sins like that, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Filthy talk, coarse joking. Wow, God hates sin. He hates it infinitely and eternally. Dishonest dealings, money under the table, self-righteousness, proudly thinking we're good when we're wicked, pretending we're friends of God when we really don't care about him and are just using him for our own convenience, caring about our own little issues far more than caring about what matters to God. That's wicked. Pleasing ourselves rather than pleasing the Lord. For all these sins and many others, we deserve to die. We deserve to perish in the everlasting fires of hell. But God sent his Son to go all the way to death for us. And Jesus took our place when he expired, when he breathed out his last. And Jesus honored the mission of God. He was faithful to the end with a shout. He yielded up his spirit to God and breathed his last. What love is this? The good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep so that none of them should be lost. Not one of them should perish. His dying breath has brought me life. And that's what we want to see thirdly is the gift of life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His dying breath has brought me life. Now, John 3:16 is one of the best known verses, but what about you, beloved? Have you believed in him so that you will not perish but have everlasting life through him who breathed out his last for you? Have you trusted in him who gave up his life that sinners may be saved? Have you seen that your own life is at stake? That you're on your way to eternal death? And have you run to Jesus Christ for refuge so that you may be spared and you may live? Are you trying to hang on to your own life, which is not yours to keep? Or have you given your life over to Jesus, which is his to give? It's sad that for so many, Good Friday is a story which is here today and gone tomorrow, but not a life-giving reality that they cling on to for their own dear life. Come to him, because in his death he purchased life for everyone who believes. He gave his life, the Bible says, as a ransom for many. Your life is under God's intense anger and eternal condemnation for your sins, but God sent his son to stand in that place for you. And Jesus, though he was innocent, willingly went forward to death for us to pay the debt and set us free, to pay that ransom price. Listen to 1 Peter 1, verse 19. You were ransomed from your empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ, you were ransomed from your empty way of life, not with silver or gold, says the Bible, but with the precious blood of Christ, that lamb without blemish or spot. Ransomed. Your freedom was purchased. Or Titus 2, verse 14, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love for me. He from death to life has brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. And through faith in him, this gift of life is yours, and it's yours forever. The Bible says in John 3, whoever believes in him, in the Son, has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. The life he gives is eternal. It's imperishable, and it's forever protected. No one will snatch you out of his hand. What life? And 1 John 5, verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. As simple as that. If you believe in the Son, you have life. If you do not believe in the Son, you do not have life. Jesus today calls you to believe. Stop pretending, believe. Stop resisting, believe. Stop hanging on to your own life, believe. Stop loving this world, believe. Give your perishing life to him so that you might have the life that Christ is, the life that is truly life. Well, people of God, by faith, you have in Jesus a life and an inheritance that can never be taken away from you. In him, your sin is fully paid for because he paid it to the end. In him, you are righteous because he paid the wages of your sin, which is death. In him, you're loved by God. You're protected. You're on a journey that brings you to God and to glory. Because of him who breathed out his last breath for you. When you breathe your last breath, it's not dying anymore. It's living. You are passing on into life with Jesus in heaven. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. You go on living. What a way to live and to die. In the name of Jesus, whose dying breath has brought you life. Because this Jesus came back to life on Easter morning, and he lives forever, you will live forever. His dying breath has brought me life. Amen.